Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You'll get your own personal Binglo card. You can follow along. And if you get Binglo, I don't think anyone got a Binglo last time because there weren't enough hits.
I couldn't agree with you more.
All right. So if we get a hit, we'll come up with a prize.
No question about it.
Can we somehow incorporate a potato in this whole thing?
Coach!
I don't know about this because this is a low thing, but there is going to be something involving Dibs autographing potatoes, or for people to be a part of something, they have to show up with a potato to get in. There is going to be, we're working on that. Okay. I don't know if this is that, but the potato is going to be a thing.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have a square on there for a double D because, you know, Dan Dibley, Dennis O'Donnell, close enough to a double D. Maybe you could drop a DOD or something on there on Dennis. Old double Ds.
Well, button it up. Is it DOD or is it DD?
It's DOD, but in keeping with Lowe's vocabulary, he would call him double D, leaving out the O, just like Lorenz O'Neal, we leave out the O.
Double D, man. Let's do this. Okay.
I like that.
I like this.
We'll put that in there as well.
Okay. I like that.
We're going to have to give you a sheet.
My God.
He's going to be sitting there with notes. Right. None of them are dead charged.
Right. Exactly.
49er notes. He's going to just be looking, all right, what do I need to get to next?
Right. Exactly. Dibs, if you had, Maybach, what's the best car? If you had a wish list, did you want to drive a car?
That's a good question. A Mike Maybach?
Yeah.
Sure. A Maybach.
Okay.
Maybach music.
Is it Maybach?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Honestly, you could pick any car.
It's
what are you
Matt
going with?
Matt Maybach from Channel 2, Morning Anchor, and it's a Maybach is the vehicle, and then Mike Mayock is the Raiders GM.
Okay.
Where were we?
Okay.
So what's your car going to be? If you could have any car.
Make it a Maybach. I want a Honda Fit, which is what I drive. Shout out Oakland Honda.
Okay.
So it kind of ruins the bit when I go for an economy car.
That's fine. It's quite fine.
Give me a Lambo,
though. Subjective.
Let's go with a Lambo. A Lamborghini.
Okay. So
it'd be weird seeing you in one of those.
Yeah, so you gotta
say
that car is suddenly not as cool to me anymore.
28 miles in the slow lane, hands at 2 and 10.
And you get
so awkward.
You get to drive it on the 101. Beautiful day, top down, relaxing. Okay,
Novato Narrows,
top
stuck
down,
in traffic.
Screaming out.
Yeah. So
money.
Would you rather
backed up to Roland Boulevard?
Now, would you rather do that? So you're there, both cars. You got that, your dream car, and you got the Adiza. And you're getting ready to drive
for those who don't
miles.
Know, the Diza is just a pickup truck.
Yeah. It's a diesel truck.
It's a diesel pickup truck.
And, you know, that old Diza beat up. You see my old Diza.
Old Diza.
Now, you have that or drive your Lambo. Now, only difference is you've seen the Diza, great tires. Your Lambo, though, has all three of the tires are pretty much bald. And one of the tires have a bulge coming out. So it looks like you don't know, can you go 5 miles, 10 miles? You don't know. But it's engine, brand new car. Which one? And you know you got to go 100 miles. Which car are you taking?
This is ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous.
I'm saying a ridiculously specific hypothetical. Let me finish the sentence.
Okay, my Lambo's
also
got
very ridiculous.
Three bald tires and one about to blow.
Yeah.
Or the old Diza, which is pretty reliable.
Or three great tires and just one of the tires. You look at this. Oh my God. The tube's about to come. You're like, man, it looks pretty bad. Okay. You're taking the Diza, right?
Yes, I'm taking the Diza.
Does he even have a choice? The way this is set up, this is as loaded of a question as it gets.
Either way, I'm thanking God I have AAA because one of these vehicles is going to go.
If Jimmy G is a Lambo and Mullins is the Diza, take the Diza. Doggone it, take the Diza.
What? So the analogy's done?
That's it. I dropped the mic. And I dropped the mic.
No, you don't get to drop a mic after something like that.
No.
That's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Very confusing.
Anna knows exactly.
No, she
speaks
doesn't.
Low. That was a great enough.
She wasn't listening.
I'm telling you guys a story about
did you really?
I did, actually.
Do you feel smarter?
I won't say that. But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, that you have the pretty looking car.
He's got a great engine.
Tires.
He can throw. We know he's way
Maybe
better.
You can let her explain, because you already tried for 3 minutes and I'm baffled.
You did it.
Anna, what was he saying?
That doesn't mean you're done for the
Excuse
day
me,
working.
Stewardess. I speak low. Please, Anna, go ahead.
So you have the pretty car, the Lambo, that's Jimmy G, with the three bad tires, the issues with the car. And then you have the old Diza, which is Mullins, which is the good old one that gets you from point A to point B, right? Which one would you rather go with?
Amen. Amen.
I think you're misportraying Jimmy G as a Lamborghini with three bald tires and a bulge in the fourth. I think that's an unfair characteristic of where he is
right now.
Three
great tires. He's got three great tires, and one of the tires is slick, and that's the one knee. Do you feel comfortable? So I can say three great tires, and you got one thing. He's got perfect body. He's got muscles popping all over the place. The guy's pretty. He looks good. He's smart. He has everything. He meets, checks every box. But if he's not healthy and it's one thing there, trust the old Diesel. It's solid. Maybe it's not as fast, but you know what you're going to get. Trust the old Diesel.
Do you know what you're going to get from an undrafted kid out of Southern Mississippi? Have you seen him in games that actually matter? Have you seen him on the road? How did he do on the road last year, Lo? You're talking about the old Diesel. The old Diesel going from point A to point B. I don't know if he's the old Diesel. He might be a unicycle, and I don't have that kind of time.
I hate to do it because I'm thoroughly enjoying all of this.
Are you?
But we got to go to the dial pad guest line. He's a Hall of Famer, a Super Bowl champion, a former Niner and Raider. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Rod Woodson joining Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Rod, good morning, and thank you for your time. How's your summer been treating you?
Man, the summer's great, man. I just moved to Vegas about 2 months ago. So I'm enjoying the cheapness of the air quality and the cheapness of my electricity in Nevada comparable to California.
You know, I used to live there before I moved here. There was a lot I loved about it. Have you found any spots you love? Any casinos you like going into just for dinner, anything like that?
I have not, but I found TPC Summerlin. So
yeah,
that's my spot to go golfing at.
Good for you. That's a great spot out there. All right. All right. Rod Woodson with Joe Logan Gibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Rod, what the heck? What made you do that move, brother? You just said it's time to go with the Raiders or what you got going?
No, my pocketbook.
I hear you.
You know, the heck. I mean, you know, it's not getting cheaper out there. It's only going to get more expensive. So, you know, I had no real reason to be outside of loving the area, which I did.
Right.
I love the Bay Area. I love the diversity of people. I love the diversity of landscape. I love the weather.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't like the high taxes and the high prices.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you, man. Congratulations on the move. Tell everyone I said hello. Let's talk a little football, and let's talk especially about the Niners. Jimmy G seems to be struggling a little bit, and they're going to Kansas City. How do you fix, or am I using the right words, how do you fix him, or how do you get success from your quarterback? How important is he going to be for this Niner team to have success this year?
Well, it's going to be prevalent on, you know, Kyle Shanahan. Just make some of the early throws, him in early part, especially this week, just getting into rhythm, you know, some bubble screens, some smokes. Some quick, easy slants and quick, easy reads for him to kind of get going and to build his confidence back up. You know, sometimes when you're not playing well, your confidence gets kind of shot. And you know this, Lonell, when you play a long time in this league, there's just a stretch where you're like, man, you know, what's going on? You know, why ain't I playing like I believe I should be playing?
Sure.
And so, you know, and sometimes it's a coach, especially offensively, especially the quarterback. You know, sometimes, you know, those guys probably, you know, they need a little help. And sometimes that offense coordinator, who is Kyle, he can be that guy to give them some easy reads early in the game to get his numbers going, to get him to feel good about where he's at right there in the moment of that game. And I think if he does that, I think we'll see the old Jimmy G. You know, I think everybody, you know, just because you don't play well in the preseason doesn't mean you're not going to play well in the postseason. I've seen it before. I've seen guys who haven't played well come back and bounce back and have solid seasons for their franchise. So I'm not down and out on him. I think, you know, Kyle can definitely help him out. I know he will once the regular season starts.
How much of this do you think can be attributed to just rust coming back from the ACL injury? I know you suffered one yourself. How difficult is it when you get back on the field, when you feel you're 100%, how hard is it to really get back to that point where you're playing free and clear again?
Well, I mean, you know, modern technology is crazy. He should be feeling pretty good, you know. And plus, you know, hey, quarterback. Let's be honest, guys. Quarterbacks are overly protected in the pocket, out of the pocket, so you can't get hit high, you can't get hit low. But now when you do get hurt, and you know, and sometimes when you're sitting in that pocket, and you step up and you see that color, you know, you might flash. Is he going to hit that knee? You know, am I going to protect the knee? Am I going to put my weight on the leg and still follow through with the throw? you know, that can still be going through their heads as a defender. You know, I was more worried about the cut blocks with the linemen pulling around. Are you going to cut my knee? You know, I need to get my knee out the way. So I had those thought processes from the defensive back's perspective. So, you know, I think it's not rust. Sometimes it can be a little mindset. You know, he's been throwing the ball with his teammates, you know, throughout the whole off season in the training camp. So it's there. It's just, you know, sometimes it's hard to figure out the game speed of it. You know, you can't simulate. We talk about this stuff in practice all the time. As players, we talk about playing fast. Coaches always talk about playing at game speed. You never practice at game speed. You think you are, but the game speed is a little bit faster, a little bit crisper than practice. So, you know, I think once he gets into it, once he gets into the rhythm, Kyle's going to find the plays that he likes, and he's going to put those plays in the first 15 to give him some success.
Hall of Famer Rod Woodson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. ESPN just released a fascinating piece the other day where they took the best player at each NFL position all time. And at the corner position, it was Deion Sanders and yourself. Now, I don't think there's anyone in this room, and I don't think there are a lot of people out there that would have an argument with any of that. But I'm curious, having played that position at such a high level for so long, if you and Deion weren't the two guys, who do you think would be the other corners in consideration?
Man, I mean, you know, I don't compare myself with anybody. I'm done competing. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of great players. I mean, you know, think about the old school guys and, you know, Willie Brown and Night Train Lane and Lem Barney and Dick LeBeau and, you know, all those guys, those Hall of Famers. And, you know, even some of the current guys that have just got in, you know, when you talk about Champ Bailey, Daryl Green and Mel Blunt. You know, I always say Mel Blunt is the best corner that I've ever seen play, even though I only saw it on tape. Because when they have to look at a guy that's 6'2", can run like a deer, and he's smashing receivers, and they said, you know what, we got to put a rule in place where he can't touch him 5 yards down the field. And that's where the 5-yard contact rule came into play back in 1970. So, you know, to me, when you're doing stuff like that, you're changing the concept of the game. You're changing ideas of what the competition committee wanted. You're doing something really good in the history of the game. So I think Mel is that guy. I'm honored to be on that team, but you know they didn't give me a fat paycheck for it. So I think it's a great honor. It's a lot of other good guys who've played in this league, played at a high level for a long time too. So I'm just glad they thought that high of me.
One of the conversations I love to have with guys like you is you went against so many great players, and to be a great player, you have to be able to identify greatness in others and how to combat it at times. You know, to see Jerry Rice on a list of all-time great players, that's obvious to everyone. Even the untrained eye knows Jerry was incredible, but all your years in the league, was there ever a wide receiver that jumped off the page to you that you thought didn't get the credit a lot of people weren't giving him, I should say? Like, we know Jerry was a legend, but who were some of the underrated guys that you went against that always seemed to pose an issue when it was a one-on-one matchup?
Yeah, you know, I only played against Jerry twice in my career, but the guy I played against quite a bit was Andre Reed. And Andre Reed played in the slot in the K-Gun for the Buffalo Bills when they're running that spread offense. When the quarterbacks and they couldn't communicate with the offensive coordinator on the sideline, it was all Jim Kelly. And, you know, what really challenged me with Andre was quick. He was big, as just as I was. You know, I'm 6'1". I was like 205 as a corner. That's a big corner. He was just the same size playing in the slot. So I couldn't muscle him like I muscled some of the smaller receivers. And he would slap my hand down, you know, and he was quick in and out of his break, just like a small receiver would be. So that to me, you know, I think Dre, I know he's in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he gets the credit like he should about being one of those elite players, because if they didn't have him in the slot when that K-Gun was working, when Jim Kelly was running that no huddle, that wouldn't have been the same offense that they amassed so many yards over the course of the time frame, those guys being together.
No question. But Dre, he'll let you know that, dog. You know Dre say he'll let you know.
Oh, I know. He'd be killing me.
Dre
not shy.
No, he's not shy at all. Hey, when we talk about the team, another team across the Bay you have some ties with too is the Raiders. What does it look like for their season, and what is going to be some of the things that you think that is for Carr needs to have success and for Gruden and him to work?
Well, I think, first of all, the language that John Gruden has inside of his system is just crazy. It's a novel for one play to get it out. So I think he struggled with that last year. But if you go back and really pay attention to it, he struggled a little bit early in the year. But his last about seven games, he played pretty solid. So I'm thinking that's what I'm going to see, because I think he has a better understanding of how to make the calls. And sometimes, listen, when you're making those calls as a quarterback and you're trying to figure out, did I just say it right? I'm trying to go to the line. I got to figure out the defense at the same time. I think there's some question marks that happened last year. This year, I think it's going to be a lot better. Bringing in AB, hopefully that will help. I know they've had a lot of issues with, off-the-field stuff. But I think once the games start, AB is going to be a difference maker. My biggest question, though, is that defense, has it turned the table? Is it going to be that defense that gets an early lead but then loses it? Or is it going to be that defense that finds a backbone and finds some playmakers? And if they do that, then I think they have a great shot. I think I had them finishing 9-7 this year, 7-9 this year. Anytime you're finishing 7-9, you win three games. Three of those close games, now you're 10-6. So you never really know. You got to win those close games. And if they got the mindset, and if Derek is playing the way he played, 3 years ago, when the Raiders were 12-4, then if he plays like that, they're going to win a lot of those close games.
One thing we do know about this Raider team, they're unbeatable when the field measures a total of 80 yards. Last night in the preseason, Rod, an 80-yard field. I know you played on some funky surfaces in your years, but have you ever seen anything quite like what we saw last night with the 80-yard Canadian pitch?
No, I'm like looking at that, right? And I'm going, that would blow my mind as a player if I get to the 10-yard line and that's the goal line.
right.
I'm watching it going, that's crazy. It's just like they had to know they were playing on that field.
No question.
They set that up. They made it a year in advance, saying, we're going to play on this field. It's like, and then all of a sudden, you're playing on an 80-yard field. You didn't think about that. I mean, that's a little crazy, but it was really crazy to watch, because every time I kept looking at the 10-yard line, I saw those little orange cones, and I'm like, that's the goal line. And I think it messed up the players, because some of the DBs were playing really deep, like they were playing in the CFL. They thought it was a 20-yard end zone.
Oh, hilarious. Oh, my favorite was when they had the ball on their own 11-yard line and they were trying to sneak it out to avoid a safety when you're on the 11-yard line.
Right? So I think it's comical now, but if you really think about it, I don't know who set it up, but whoever set it up, the communication gap of Canadian football and American football had to be addressed about the field prior to that.
That
to me is crazy.
No question, Rod. I totally agree with you. Man, thanks for joining the show, brother. You're the best, man. Got to get together soon. Enjoy Vegas. I get out there to see you, bro. We'll talk again soon.
Come on out, man. I'll find a good steakhouse, man, by the time you get here, and then we'll go and chop it up.
No question. Be good.
Thanks, Rod.
All right, you too. All right, guys.
Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ, and former Niner and Raider Rod Woodson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. If you want a good steakhouse or a place to eat off the strip, right? Because everyone knows about the strip and the casinos and all the different steakhouses. There's a place called Herbs and Rye.
Herbs and Rye.
Yeah. It's in between the strip and Summerlin, which is probably where he lives. Because if he's talking about playing TPC Summerlin, he's out there on the western side, which is a nice neighborhood.
Sounds like a weekend show here on 95.7 The Game when Ryan Covey fills in. Herbs and Rye, Sunday, noon to 4.
Great spot. Old school cocktail joint, great menu, all that good stuff. Also, if he's out in Summerlin,
Well,
there's another former NFL player.
Why
out
didn't
there
you
too.
Ask him?
Bring your own steak knife.
Why didn't you ask him?
Why didn't you? You're his friend.
You know?
You're friends with Rod Woodson and OJ.
Huh.
I just, you know, I'm lucky enough to have the privilege of speaking with
I'm
Rod.
Surprised
I'm not going to ask him questions about OJ. Oh, he just moved to Vegas.
He should have. That would have been a... I totally slipped my mind. True print.
For you, where you've been like, yo, Rod, one of my boys, great to hear you in Vegas. Another one of my boys, OJ's out there as well.
That's not
you
how
You guys
it
think you'll
went.
Be playing at the same time?
Your laugh, not mine.
That's not how it would have went.
I should have gone with this one anyway.
Is the Ray Ratto laugh on there?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Let me find that Ratto laugh. That
I'm surprised we didn't ask him,
oh,
though.
This one.
I'm
not.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah,
if you would have told me, no, true friend, if you would have reminded, like,
what would you have said?
I'd have been like, hey, have you seen the Juice out there? Have you seen OJ?
Damn, we probably should ask that.
Yeah, because he'd be like, he'd tell you.
Joe what? Theismann's coming up next. You want to ask him about OJ?
Sure.
Okay. Stay tuned. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank.
You're crazy,
full
man.
Full service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Dialpad. 49ers face the Chiefs tomorrow in their third preseason game, and after seeing in last night's games where the Raiders and Packers played on an 80-yard field due to poor field conditions and the Panthers' Cam Newton exited in a walking boot, does this change the Niners' approach to their third exhibition game? How much do we want to see Jimmy Garoppolo play tomorrow? Well, Joe Lowe and Dibs will ask former NFL great Joe Theismann next, then chat with Radio.com NFL insider Mike Lombardi at 9:05. And don't miss a moment. Take Joe Lowe and Dibs on the go. You can download the Radio.com app today. In baseball, Giants are now six back in the wild card race after getting swept at Wrigley. While the A's, they swept the Yankees and are now tied with the Rays in the wild card race. Part two of the Bay Bridge series begins tomorrow in Oakland. We'll get you ready for the Battle of the Bay. Dialpad has changed the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud. Put a business line on your cell phone and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. And coming up, we're giving away tickets to Incubus at 8:45. I'm Anna Kagadakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
So, as we wait for Theismann, anything specific you would like to ask him today?
I want to ask him about the field conditions, if all Canadian fields are as bad as what we saw yesterday. He, of course, played for the Toronto Argonauts, so get his thoughts on 120-yard fields, 80-yard fields, holes where goalposts should be, etc. Winnipeg.
You got to figure here in late August, that tan's in full effect. He's always got one of the greatest in the business. Do we have him? Beautiful. I want to talk about it. Super Bowl champ, 1983 NFL MVP, the tan of all tans, Joe Theismann with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Joe, don't lie to me. How's that tan looking here in August?
It's pretty good, really.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of golf, a little bit of beach. So it's hard to start. You know, this is a good time to keep it, to be honest with you. You get it June and July, and then August is sort of a maintenance program.
Joe, you
maintenance program.
Joe, you're always pretty in the face and swimming away. So I remember days in San Diego, you'd come out there. Everyone's like, look at Joe. He's still just smooth as can be, baby.
Hey, you're kind.
Let's talk about the quarterback position, man. A position you play, and you played it at the highest. You even got injured, you know, horrible injury. But you look at a guy like Jimmy G. You see what happened with him, and sometimes it takes a little time. You saw Tom Brady, his numbers after he came back from his knee injury wasn't as well. Carson, same thing happened to him. So what can we expect from Jimmy G? How does he get his confidence? How does he start off and start having some success, especially when it's opening day against Tampa?
Well, I think the big thing for Jimmy is, you know, first of all, he's got to prove to himself that he's okay. We went through this just as an example. I did the game last night, Atlanta and the Washington Redskins in a preseason game. And we had Darius Geis, who got hurt on like the second play a year ago in the first preseason game. He wasn't sure if he'd be able to cut. He wasn't sure if he'd be able to have people around his knees. He had a good night. You know, he averaged close to 6 yards a carry. And got more and more confident. I think I watched Jimmy work the other day when he was 1 for 6, the interception, all that other stuff. The offensive line, first of all, has to block for you. Okay, that would be an important factor as far as confidence goes. But I think Kyle's going to give him an opportunity to be able to move around. He's going to get the ball out of his hands and sort of gradually bring him back from a confidence standpoint to get back behind the center and do the things that they expect him to do and the quarterback that he has proven he can be, albeit in 10 football games. But I think it's just going to take a little bit of time. You know, guys coming off of knee injuries, it just takes a while to get that confidence back. And in Jimmy's case, I think he has to be smart, too. He can't take unnecessary hits. That's how he got himself hurt. You know, you don't have to prove anything. You know, everybody calls this a macho game. I think it's more of a smart game and a managing game at the quarterback position, and that's what he has to do. You want to be around for the next play. There's no reason, you know, third down and 17 and you're 7 yards short, run out of bounds. Run out of bounds 12 yards away. Come back and let the defense go do their job. That's why they call it a team game.
Is it tougher now for a player to come back from injury than it was, say, when you played? And, you know, the medicine I know is better now, so you can come back quicker, but the scrutiny seems to be so much tougher. All we've talked about is Jimmy Garoppolo in a 5-interception practice. It made viral news. Does that sort of scrutiny make it tougher on a player now to try to bounce back?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, you can't let that bother you. I mean, if you let social media get under your skin, you should be playing the position anyway. I think the number one quality that has to be possessed by a quarterback is mental toughness. Now, that includes scrutiny from your family members. I mean, I'd come home after throwing interceptions and the kids and my wife would look at me like, what'd you do? that's the hardest scrutiny that you face. It's like, what did you do? I didn't do it on purpose. I know, Dad, but come on, man, you got to do it better. Okay, fine. And then there's the media, and then there's the coaches. And so you go through all of that, go through that entire process, and you just have to blot it out and go do your job and focus on the task at hand. How do I get better every day? How do I get smarter at my job every day? Those are the things you focus on and put the other stuff on the side. You know, heck, in practice, this time of year, you're going to throw interceptions because you haven't put in game plans. The defense has been looking at the same thing week after week, day after day. They're going to jump routes. They're going to know the route patterns and everything else. Now they, you know, this is where they'll start to prepare for Tampa. Most of the guys, the starters, won't play in this game anywhere around the league. And so now they start putting the game plans together. They've been working on it a little bit, a route here, a route there, a concept here, a concept there. Now it starts to get down to business. I think Jimmy's going to be fine. There was a lot of pressure coming at him in that game. When he went 1-for-6 in his first outing. But I'm not the least bit concerned, and I don't think Kyle is either. And so as far as stuff going in practice, you know, that's just it's a learning experience. You know, why were they thrown? Did they jump the routes? Did I make a bad throw? Did the receiver run the wrong route? You know, interceptions, there's a lot to them. It isn't just a guy throwing the ball. Now, this is coming from a quarterback who's thrown enough of them to know.
The great Joe Theismann joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line. Interesting scenario in Winnipeg last night, football being played on an 80-yard field. We saw Cam Newton injure his ankle yesterday as well. He's in a walking boot. What are your general thoughts on the preseason? 4 games, is it too much? Should something be done to change the format?
Well, first of all, the starters barely play in preseason. The preseason is not for the starters. It's for backups. It's for trying to fill 2 or 3 positions on your football team. It's trying to get the young guys up to speed on what you're trying to accomplish. It's creating an environment. It's creating a tempo. It has very little to do with the amount of games. I mean, the guys train a ton now. I mean, you know, although you can't be at the facility, which is absurd, January, February, March, and April. I mean, Loki. Can you imagine not having a chance to work with your coach for 3.5 months before you show up?
Crazy.
And then, it's nuts. It's totally nuts. So, but that's the way it is right now. I think you need at least 3. Nobody plays. No starters will play in the 4th game. So there really isn't 4 preseason games. I don't think you need 5. We played the Atlanta Falcons last night in our game. The Hall of Fame game should count as a 4th preseason game. You do not need a 5th preseason game for the 2 teams that play in the Hall of Fame game. That would be the first thing I would eliminate. So you'd have whoever that is, they play that game, and then they have 3 more. So, you know, that's the way I would look at it. I think you need it to evaluate players. I mean, we've had guys in the last preseason game, free agents and rookies, make our football team based upon their performance in the 4th preseason game. But that, if you don't have preseason games, how are you going to evaluate people? You have 90-man rosters. Next Friday, they're going to cut 37 guys from every football team. 1,000 players plus are going to hit the streets. How would you have any idea what you're looking for if you didn't have a chance to see that person in practice or evaluate your own people?
That's fair, but I think that when you look at some of these preseason games, Joe, can you really evaluate your third stringers against another team's third stringers? And this fourth preseason game is really four quarters of garbage time, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what it is? I find this one a little bit interesting because there are certain people, like we have a kid by the name of Craig Reynolds out of Kutztown. He's a running back. You know, I mean, what's he going to look like on special teams? And quite often, coaches will call plays, and this is something people can't get their arms around. Coaches will call plays. They'll go for it on fourth down. They'll try fake. We had a fake field goal. Ben Kawika, who's the special teams coach of the Falcons, ran a fake punt last night. They'll try different things in preseason just to get a look-see. I'll call a particular run to see if that left guard has the ability to be able to get outside. Now, irrespective of the talent that he's playing against, does he have the athleticism that I think he has to be able to get on the edge? So it's much more specific than just looking at a football game. And that's the, you know, that's the eye of the coach, so to speak.
Joe, I was fortunate to play, you know, like you for a long time, 16 years in the league. There's a guy that I hated playing against, Jesse Tuggle. I mean, Atlanta Falcons. That dude hit. He was short in stature like me, and we would just go at it. So he kind of got me ready for the Al Wilsons and the next generation of linebackers. There was a guy that I miss, but you played against him. Do you have any great stories or just about one of the most fierce pass rushers, Lawrence Taylor? What was he like? What was he like to play against? What was his whole mantra? What made him so unique?
I think the thing that made Lawrence so unique was his ability to analyze plays, his ability to study the angle that he needed to take to knock your head off. We're playing, this is what probably his rookie year, we're playing the Giants at Giants Stadium. And I handed the ball off to John Riggins on an outside play. It was, you know, 60 outside.
Sure.
So I hand the ball off to John. I turn around, and I see Lawrence chasing him down the line of scrimmage. Tackles him after a two-yard gain. I'm thinking, next time coach calls the play, I'm just going to keep it. LT's going to be long gone, no problem. So we get the ball on, like, the 17-yard line. Joe calls 60 outside. I decide I'm going to keep it. I see Lawrence go flashing by me.
Yeah.
I turn around, and all I see is the end zone in front of me.
Yeah.
And at the 13-yard line, I'm on the ground. LT had turned around and tackled me and run me down. Obviously, you know, this is how much respect we had for him. When coaches put up defenses, they identify players with certain letters. Like, for example, the Vs were the defensive linemen, the Bs were the backers, the Cs were the corners, the Ss were the safeties. When we played the Giants, all of those letters were on the board to identify the defense, except one. There was one big number 56 with a circle around it. And that was Joe's way of basically saying, look, these other guys are good football players, but this is the one guy that can totally disrupt everything we want to do. When I used to drop back, and I used to backpedal. So when I dropped back, never ran the gun, I would look to my left, and if LT was coming, I'd have to speed things up a little bit. If he dropped into pass coverage, I took a little breath, a little exhale. Okay, I'm good. I got a little time here. He changed the pace of the whole game. He is, I think, the greatest outside linebacker that this game has seen, and there's been unbelievable backers. But from an outside backer standpoint, he and Leonard Marshall made an incredible combination. I don't think Leonard gets enough credit for playing next to LT for as many years as he did and being a force to reckon with on his own. If it wasn't for the greatness of LT.
Great stuff. Super Bowl champ, 1983 NFL MVP, one of our all-time favorites, Joe Theismann with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Joe, you're always so generous with your time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to talking again.
You too, guys. Take care. I'll catch up with you soon.
You're the best, Joe.
That guy, that's like one of the moments I'll point to in radio, talking with him, because like, I knew who he was growing up, obviously, quarterback of the Redskins, Notre Dame. I heard him on broadcast, but he played for the Redskins. I grew up Philadelphia Eagle fan, so it's not like I'm going to be a fan of Theismann's. But, like, we've had him on so many times. He's always such a nice guy to us. He always tells such great stories, such a great interview, that I've become, like, a bigger and bigger fan of Joe Theismann throughout the course of my life because of these conversations on this show. I love talking with him.
No question. Couldn't you just...
He'd probably be a good guy to get a beer with.
That's what I was going to tell you. Wouldn't it be great to just sit at a bar or just just outside or just and just listen to his stories. I mean, you could just imagine the stories. You'd just be in awe. Just like, tell me another one, Joe. Tell me another one.
You, me, him, Dibs. Oh, and then we kick you out, and it's me, Dibs, and Theismann. It'd be great. Oh.
It's like, Joe, Joe, and Dibs. Where's Lorenzo?
Dibs Sandwich. That'd be the name of the show.
Yeah, it's Dibs on Joe. Joe Bread. The two Joes and then the Dibs. You get it, right, Lo? You get it?
We were having such a nice conversation. And I, as we were getting excited, I was like, hey, let me see if I pivot here, see how it. And you can just tell. He's like, why do I do this?
I already got the theme song written.
Why do I come in here? Here's what we're going to do. We got tickets to give away. This is a get back for Lo here.
Please.
Get back. Pair of tickets to see Incubus on their 20 years of Make Yourself and Beyond tour with special guest Dub Trio. They're going to hit the Bay Area to play the Masonic in San Francisco on Tuesday, September 24th and Wednesday, September 25th. These tickets are for the Wednesday, the 25th show. Tickets are available at www.sfmasonic.com. That's www.sfmasonic.com. First number in the league was Double Deuce.
Deuce, deuce.
Caller Double Deuce to the contest line, which is, nice guy, come on the air and just read it off.
844-99-GAME.
Nice guy, turn the microphone off. Turn the microphone off. Now, take a breath.
3, 2, and 1.
What's the contest line that they should call?
844-999-GAME. That's 844-999-4263. 844-999-4263.
Thank you very much. Caller 22 in honor of Emmett Smith will get the tickets.
Deuce, deuce. Will Clark, really.
Will Clark, that's another good 22.
If we do
also low with the Saints.
Mountain Deuce, deuce more. I don't know if he gets on there. But.
Hint, I'm thinking if we go to New Orleans for the Saints-Niners game, I'm thinking not to the game, but I'm thinking about walking around the Big Easy with a 22 Neil jersey.
Be so
the
great.
Saints, getting one made up and wearing it around town.
And just asking people, walk up to people, say, hey, do you know the guy, do you know the first name of the guy on the back of this jersey? Is it Bill Neal? Is it
O'Neal?
Mike Neal?
Yeah. Delta? Is Delta?
Is it? I didn't know Delta played for the Saints.
O'Donnell?
Damn!
It's tough. Why are you looking at me? It was him this time.
So Theismann tells a story about Lawrence Taylor. Just, I mean, I don't know if there's ever been someone that I found scarier as a football player than Lawrence Taylor.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
when you watch those NFL Films videos of him yelling and screaming from the sideline.
It's going down like a bunch of crazed dogs.
Yeah.
I'm coming over there. I'm coming to get you over there. Oh, he just yelling at guys, foaming at the mouth. He was crazy.
Mount
man.
Scary NFL player more. I've got him on it. I'm trying to figure who are the others. Like, who would you have on there?
Pig Golf.
Pig Golf, you were scared of him?
Yeah, I'm scared of him.
All right, New Orleans Saints, defensive
New
tackle?
New Orleans Saints, defensive
was
tackle.
Was he DT?
DT.
Pig Goff.
Scared of.
Wow.
Scared.
And that's just because you're his teammate and you knew how he rolled.
I didn't know these guys. I didn't know them, Dibs. I came into a team. I'm 21, 22 years old. Come from Fresno.
From the Moo.
And
for me, Joe, Ronnie Lott would be on the mount as far as guys I saw who absolutely were ferocious out there, lighting people up. Ronnie was the old school hard hitter.
See, I met him and he was so nice that it's not on Mount Scarymore. Because that's the thing. Like, I met Brian Dawkins once. He was a really cool guy. So I can't put him. Same with Troy Polamalu. I remember Polamalu. I'm like, man, this guy's so soft-spoken. Yeah. Such a nice guy. So I can't put him on Mount Scarymore.
Charles Haley would be a candidate.
Haley's mine. He almost wanted to beat me up. I don't know why, too. I was being so nice and gregarious.
You tried to make a joke. That's why.
Thank you,
Anna.
I was
very gregarious that day. Haley misinterpreted my gregarious nature.
I thought you were done.
I did too.
He would have been done via the lawsuit.
But so he would have got what he wanted. He tore you up.
Me too. I'm getting paid. So
you wouldn't have been here.
I don't think so.
Your parts would have gotten paid.
Someone would have had to have jumped in at some point before it's all over.
You'd have got voted. He definitely would have voted you.
He's older. I'm still young. I'm in my prime. I can move.
I can set it up.
Okay.
Hypotheticals. I'm good. Just letting that one live on in theater of the mind. It's probably best for everyone.
No doubt. Especially for your wife and children.
Right.
Ray Lewis keeps getting brought up. Not really. I would say Ray Lewis. This is on the Chilton Auto Body text line. But Lo called him out in a game, and then Lo, you pointed at him when you were running at him with the ball. Because it was like, here we go. Everyone wants to see us butt heads. And then he went low and cut his legs out. So no, sorry. Ray Lewis isn't on the list.
And he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Ray Lewis?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Along with Lamar Odom.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good
interesting cast.
Momentum is really real.
Yeah. How about this, Lamar? Just get organized. How about instead of dancing shows and all this other stuff, just get organized. You had a chance at the big three. He couldn't even make that work. It's like, man, people want you on that show because you're a train wreck. That's why they want you on that show. It's not because everyone loves you. They think you're a train wreck and they want to see you wreck the train. Go get right. Get right. Take some time.
All his moves are going to be showcased that he learned from the club. So look forward to seeing that.
The club.
The, nice. The strip club. All the moves that he will emulate from all his time.
That was good.
A lot of pole action for Lamar. Modeling. He'll be modeling behavior that he learned while on the road.
Twisting and turning and switching.
No doubt.
Other scary names coming up. Mount Scary, more for NFL players. I just missed it. Ed Reed. Bill Romanowski.
Yeah.
Bill's crazy.
Okay.
I met Bill in person, too. Yeah. While nice, also crazy.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson. Naturally, on Mount Scarymore, which that's probably the Washington position.
I mean,
right?
If you want to go that route, you can go down your Aaron Hernandez's and your Ray Caruth.
Right.
So I don't know.
Right.
I mean, if you really, I mean, like real world scary. Well, I thought we were talking about football scary.
Exactly.
Not I just said Mount Scary football player more. They're scary and they play football.
That is true.
Michael Marty at 9:05, Chris Mortensen at 9:30 to talk about the commentary regarding Jimmy Garoppolo. Are we done? Is this, I hate to phrase it like this, but are we done with the Giants? No, I'm done with Jimmy. What? Oh, we haven't even gotten to week one yet.
No.
Are we done with the Giants?
No.
Are the Giants done?
I was going to say, are we done with this Jimmy G, subject? I thought you were going to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought
this will be a subject for quite some time.
I just thought you would say, after hearing Theismann, what he said he's not complaining. So he said he's not worried. So I thought you were going to say, are we done with this conversation, Jimmy G conversation, after hearing Joe Theismann?
Hearing what Theismann had to say about it, how do you feel now about everything?
It makes me feel better. It makes me feel better. And I think hopefully I'm not being misinterpreted. And that's what sometimes a lot of that happens with me in the way I lay it out, Daniel, and I don't understand it. I was just one of those guys that said the guys that overpaid. I said he definitely was overpaid. I said the guy wasn't, and we had Eric come on yesterday. Eric Davis, and confirmed what I said. Everyone throws around the word franchise, and they pay these guys. Does that mean they're franchise quarterbacks? No, I'm saying the same thing. Is he a good and average quarterback? I'm saying yes. My only thing is I think that the guy can play, and I think he will be a serviceable quarterback. I think he's going to stay here. But at the same sense, I think that everyone's ready to win now, and I just don't know if he's ready right now because the team's ready, and is he ready? And if that's the question, and if Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch believes that he is, then I believe with them because I believe in those two guys. But if he's not, and it shows that he's not, then I have no problems going ahead and putting him on the shelf for a second until he's ready to lead my team.
Can
that's
we
the
just
thing I'm
back
saying.
Up a couple clicks?
Do we
before,
have to?
We
a
do,
couple?
Because when you said this team is ready to win, I don't believe that this team is everyone's ready to win and that Jimmy G is the reason why they might not be successful. You look at an offensive line that has been very, very questionable in the early going in the preseason. You look at a collective group that is 3-13 on the road over the last 2 years, including 0-8 last season. You look at a defense with question marks in the secondary and injuries up front for your big pass rush. We all talked about this new look front. While Nicky Bosa can't play, and he may not be ready to go week one, Dee Ford isn't playing. So to me, it's not as easy to say this team is ready to win. I think that's a bit of a stretch. So I wanted to back up to that because I think you're putting Jimmy G in an unfair light. You're portraying as if to say Jimmy G might be the reason that they're unable to win, and therefore putting Mullins in for Garoppolo will solve all your problems, and
I don't
believe that.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, see,
I've listened all four times you said it.
No. I'm saying, does he give you the chance to win right away, right now? I'm saying right now. The opportunity is not – I'm saying Jimmy G's the long-term solution. I'm asking you right now if the team is more ready to win now with another quarterback because for the reasons you just laid out so kindly, offensive line can't block as well. So you need a guy who's going to be a little bit more mobile. So if Mullins gives you that, if he's able to buy more time, if he's able to move out of the pocket and plant on the outside knee, if he's able to move, and if you have a guy that can't do that and can't do it at a high level, why the hell would you play him? So that's the only point I'm making.
I don't think it's a matter of if they're ready to win. They don't have that luxury. It's time to win. It's time to win, and it's not time to win Super Bowls. Very clear about that. Been very clear from the beginning. The injuries, the excuses, the problems, the schedules, done with it. I think everyone's done with it. You've had a long window since the last time you were somewhat successful. 32 teams in the NFL. You and the Browns are the only teams to not post a winning record since 2014. Every other team has done that. The Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Colts, the Jags, the Raiders. I can go through everybody. The Redskins, the Cardinals, you and the Browns. The only team since 2014 to not post a single winning season. People go through downturns. You are the San Francisco 49ers. Enough is enough. You've had your injuries, you've had your misses in the draft, you've had your missed signings, you've had all the problems. People are tired of hearing about it. People get furious in Pittsburgh if a 10-win season doesn't result in two playoff wins, right?
Right.
People in New England, it's Super Bowl or bust every year.
Every year.
In Philadelphia, there's an expectation that you should be in the playoffs every year. Work your way around the NFL. Here, it's just like, I mean, we have some hope. Maybe this is the year that we can take the next step. Done with that. That's what they say in Miami. That's what they say in Houston with the Texans.
Detroit.
Maybe we can get a playoff win this year. That's what they say in Cincinnati and Tennessee these days. Like, that shouldn't be the norm here. So it doesn't matter if you are ready to win right now. You have to do it. I'm always going to go back to the Bill Walsh three-year window. He took over an awful franchise. Absolutely awful. And in 3 years, he won a Super Bowl. No one's asking you to do that. No one is out there asking you to win it through Super Bowl in 3 years. The only thing we're asking for is for this team to be competitive late in the year for a wild card spot. That's it. Don't win the division. Don't get a bye. Don't go to the Super Bowl. Don't win the Super Bowl. Just be competitive for a wild card spot late in the year. If you are a head coach and a general manager, if you're the owner of an NFL team and you have a three-year window to do that. That is extraordinarily reasonable on behalf of the fan base. Try pulling that in Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. Try pulling that in New York with the Giants. You think Giants fans are tolerating this crap right now? The newspaper bashes them every day. Every day. Jets fans kind of tolerate it because they're used to losing. That can't be the norm anywhere and here anymore. The mindset has to change. The fan base has to get angrier, too. They've gotten a wide berth post-Harbaugh. That breakup was so bad, and the decision-making afterwards with Chip and with Tom Sula, people just kind of were like, oh, we're just going to deal with this. You notice the Giants aren't accepting it. The new GM has come in. He's trying to get them ramped up as possible.
He is.
He's making good moves down there. The Sharks every year are threatening.
Yeah.
The Raiders are trying to build this thing up. The A's have been threatening year after year to try to make a little bit of noise in the playoffs, right? The Warriors, you don't even need to mention it. So enough with the ifs.
Yeah.
I'm done with the ifs. If they're ready to win, sorry, you have to be ready to win this year. And I don't care if it's injuries that derails you or what, you spend enough money on defense that if you want to be a below average offense, the defense should still carry you to 8 wins. And if the defense can't do it, then the offense has to do it. But someone has to do something this year.
This
can't be just a series of excuses. Yet again, they don't get that leeway. They've gotten it for a couple of years.
Well, then
now.
You're not rolling out Nick Mullins for week one under any circumstance unless Jimmy G is physically injured because he's your best hope. You pinned your hopes to Jimmy Garoppolo. You're not turning to Nick or CJ to be the quarterback.
All right, let him marinate. Michael Lombardi, 3 Super Bowl rings. He'll weigh in on it next. It's Joe Lo and Dibs back for the championship rounds here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.